last week I said that maybe I will conclude last week what we were teaching on the law of faith, but apparently it's not good enough. We have to add some things to it today. Last week's message, I titled it the Root of Faith. And when I talk about fruits and roots, yes. One of the things I explained there, I'd just like to explain it again, is that, you see, there's a way faith works. The Bible says that faith works by love. And in the last many weeks, we have been able to see exactly what that scripture is talking about when it says that faith works by love. You know, I said that God is the one that builds us up in faith, and that it's not as if somebody is born with great faith. Please not know this point in mind. I made them last week or in previous times. That it's not as if somebody is born with great faith in his heart, but that if you put yourself in a particular position, then God will help you beget great faith in your life. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying there. That is, don't ever forget this thing. I said the greatest, should I use the word instigator of faith, is a vision. Are you getting me? If God shows you something, you will not have a choice but to accept it, except you are real Satan incarnate. That is, when you have seen something that God wants to do, it becomes easy for you to accept, depend upon, and commit your whole life to the fact that that thing is going to happen. And that means that God doesn't give that to everybody. The reason being that he said himself, don't cast your pearls before swine. And if he says you shouldn't do it, that means he never does it himself. In that if you will not value something, God will not show it to you. All right? So what God does is that to check where the person's heart is, we have looked at the matter of Esau being a godless man. And because of that, his godless attribute, he was eager to sell his birthright for a morsel of meat. And the reason why he didn't value it was because of the godless nature that was inside his heart. Now, we have established that, and because I'm going to bring out something again from that one today. Please just bear this in mind. Faith, I have noticed, is essentially for function in life. That is, you cannot walk for God, all right? And you cannot walk with God if you are not walking by faith. Let me say that again. You cannot walk for God, and you cannot walk with God. Or let me put it the other way. We should start it the other way around. That is, you cannot walk with God, and you cannot walk for God if you are not walking by faith. That is, your walk in faith is what qualifies you to do things for God on the earth. Now, one of the things that I've had to think about several times is why God created this earth in the first place. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've had many reasons, many explanations, because as a teacher, you have to offer many explanations. I've had many to offer to people, but I know I don't have the depth of it, but among the things I have come to understand is that the earth that God created is a place where spiritual things are to be demonstrated. Let me give an example. Before the creation of this world, I believe, Satan rebelled against God. The devil rebelled against God. Now, without this creation, God cannot give a final solution to the devil question. Do you get my point? That is, it's upon this earth that God will demonstrate his own wisdom. Because God doesn't just do things because he's God. He does them because they are right. And he takes it upon himself to prove to people that what he is doing is right. That what he is doing is correct. You are getting that point. Now, so God looks at him on this earth. He said, at this point, I am going to demonstrate my superiority. I am going to demonstrate the necessity for annihilating the devil. For taking him out of the picture. Not that everybody just know that, no, God is correct. No, I know I am correct, but I want to demonstrate it for people to see. I always give communism as an example, that God allowed communism to flourish for a very long time, and then showed by the experience of communism, all right, that the principles of communism are not right. You are getting what I'm saying? That is, it doesn't have to tell you now that they are not right. You have history to tell you that people tried it and it doesn't work. That is, if you are walking against God, you are walking against God's principles in life, God will use your life to demonstrate to people that it is not right. Like I said concerning a fella, you know, Nigerian fella, and, you know, the man stood for a form of iniquity. There were many things that he stood for, all right, lawlessness and all of that. He seemed to have been a critic, a social critic, but actually, the man was also a lawless man himself. He stood up as a champion of a form of iniquity. The man was a very promiscuous fellow. In fact, when he was diagnosed when he died from AIDS, one of the people that worked with him said that it had to happen like that. that once he sees anything woman, all right, whatever, anything skin in skirt, the man can't let go. Are you getting my point? And he said it very publicly. He made it clear that that was the kind of person he was. I said, therefore, God left him as an example to demonstrate the uselessness of that procedure to people. Are you getting my point? He was an unrepentant fellow, and God said, no problem, I will leave you up there. And another example I gave is that Bob Marley, I don't know what kind of person he was. Let's assume basically he was a good man, all right? Good man. Esau was a good man also. Don't forget that, all right? So the man sang that I got to have Kaya now. That is, I must have Kaya. Whatever it is, I must have Kaya. God said, fine, you have sung for the whole world that you must smoke Kaya. Therefore, I will show you as an example of what Kaya does to people. It was in his 30s when he had cancer of the lungs and he died. Are you getting my point? Collapse on stage while performing I got to have Kaya now or related songs. So God said, fine, I have made my point. All right, so if you want to have Kaya now, you have seen that Kaya now does not help anybody now. You get my point? So you have to deliver yourself out of Kaya now. You understand my point? There's another industrialist. I don't want to mention his name. I read his book. I've used him as examples when I'm teaching. But once a friend called me and we're discussing about him, and he mentioned his name. I said, that man is going to die in poverty, except he changes, if he continues life the way he's living it now. Because I read his book. All right, the man expounded and gloried in sexual promiscuity without any repentance in it. Now he's a world figure. He kind of prides himself in his atheistic position, okay, almost making a mockery of faith. Yet God has consistently showed him where he had blessed him. There is no success he has had that people have not had before. I read the book. I have come publicly to use it to preach. But I am telling you, you see, wealth is not to the discerning. Are you getting my point? So we know that it's not because he was a descending man. In fact, the guy had learning disabilities. Okay? He said time and chance happened to them. That is, we know that God set events that made things happen to for certain people and caused them to be blessed in life. So if God decides he's going to turn over those things again, listen. He will do it easily. The same way he made you prosper, you collapse in one day. One single day. Are you getting what I'm going to say here? That's why I said that I don't want to mention his name. That this man, I know he's famous now worldwide. He's a multi-millionaire, a billionaire today. But it won't take God 5 years to wreck him and it will be a public matter that this fellow is bankrupt. Why? Because you made a mockery of morals. You made a mockery of the knowledge of God. And being a worldwide figure, you printed it for the whole earth to read. God has a responsibility to tackle you. Are you getting my point? You have challenged him to battle. And as long as we are preaching the gospel of God on this earth, you will have to die bankrupt. Now, I say all of this by bringing out the point that you see, the earth is a demonstration field. That is, God is displaying certain things, all right, concerning, like I was talking about Satan, that is on this earth, God will show his superiority. Are you getting my point? Now, in all the things that God is doing, God uses people. Now, God knew Adam was going to fall. That didn't bother him at all right? Because he knew that he had a solution that would bring forth an Adam better and bigger than the first one that he made. So that was not a problem. In fact, it was good that Adam fell, because that's how God does it. Because you have to kill Jesus Christ first for him to resurrect, and you see the better, all right, Christ that really is there. He will allow you to kill him, so you think you have scored the first point. It's after that he will rise up in his glory and show you really who is superior. Are you getting the point I'm making here? So on the earth, God knew what he was doing. He allowed Adam to fall. But I'm bringing out the point here that so it's people that God is going to use. God defeats the devil through his people. I told you that God allowed communism to flourish, then he collapsed it. And it's not as if God took a conscious effort to break down communism. What he just did was to allow it, all right, to flourish. And then allowed natural events, because God made the earth, his order is a perfect order. If you go against the order of God, you will end up like communism. It's just, you can't help it. Are you following my point? Remember this example I gave before. It's a story that we all know. People who spoke up against God. When they made Titanic, you've heard that story several times. They call it the unsinkable Titanic. And the people who built it said, even God cannot sink this ship. And God said, I heard you. Now, I will not sink the ship, I promise you. I will just refuse to sustain it. Are you getting my point? So I'll fold my arms and watch it happen. So God watched it happen. Watched Titanic strike ice and remove. I told you before several times that wisdom is a gift of God. He removed the wisdom from the people to put enough rescue measures on the ship. They packed because you see, they told themselves it cannot sink. Therefore, it sank. killed everybody. Well, not everybody. Many people, most people on board. The captain of the ship, of course, went with it so that you will know forever that there are statements you don't make. You never say, even God can't sink this ship. The man who said it, even God cannot provide. And as a Nigerian, you should be careful. In economic adversity, you have to be careful also. Don't say, even God cannot provide. A man stood up, 2 Kings chapter 7, and said, even God cannot provide. God said, is that so? Okay, watch it. I will provide, but you won't eat from it. Remember the other story I told you, a friend told me, but great things have been said against God and how God vindicated himself. A young lady and her friends were going under the trip, and her mother begged her and said, please take God on this trip. She said, sorry, the car is full. If God wants to come along, he has to sit in the boot. And God said, no problem, I will sit in the boot. And then they had a ghastly accident on the road. Everybody died. Their body were dismembered, that they didn't know whose head it was against which leg. But there was a crate of eggs in the boot, and not one cracked, for God to demonstrate that I sat in the boot. You are getting what I'm trying to say here. And that is how God does his things. So we're talking about the law of faith. So what God wants to do again in life, in every situation, is to show his excellency, is to show his superiority. And I believe that's one major reason he created the earth. All right, in the span of eternity, the existence of this world is just temporary. No, it's so short. Okay, so God just created, let me just show you people some things. Are you following my point? Now, what I'm trying to build upon is the fact that, you see, when he's doing it, he uses people. He uses people. He doesn't just do it himself alone. He uses people. But the people he uses, all right, they are the people who have committed themselves to him. In fact, I think we should, let me read this scripture and it will help us. I'm rounding up the things that we have been saying about the law of faith. The book of Revelations, chapter 17. It was describing the conflict upon this earth. The 10 horn, he said in verse 12, which you saw are 10 kings which have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. He said, these have one purpose. They give their power and authority to the beast. In verse 13, these will wage war against the lamb, and the lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. Now, let me explain this again. I think we've studied it before. Now, two people are contrasted here, or two camps. That's good. Two camps are contrasted. One, there's the beast and the 10 kings. And it said that the 10 kings receive a kingdom, and having received power of that kingdom, they give their power and authority to the beast. Okay? Now read in verse 13. It said, they are going to wage war against the lamb, and the lamb will overcome them. Notice this, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Now, what he was saying is that just like the beast is the Lord over 10 kings. Are you getting my point? He's a king over 10 kings. Did you notice that earlier? There are 10 kings, and they give their power and their authority to the beast. He said, in the same manner, this lamb is the Lord of many lords and is the King of many kings. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He's not describing the person as a title. This is King of Kings. He's describing the people that are with him. Just like he described the 10 kings with the beast, he said, with the Lord, there are many kings and there are many lords. He said, the people who are with him, they are the called, the chosen, and what's the last word? The full of faith. The faithful. I'm trying to explain that when God is going to demonstrate his power and his superiority on the earth, when every philosophy will stand up against the knowledge of God, and God will demonstrate the inferiority of those ones compared to his own knowledge, then the people who he will do them those things through are called the called. The second level, after he has called everybody, he chooses some people, the chosen. And then last of all, they are the faithful. The people. Now, you see, that's how the things of God are. They are in stages. Are you getting my point? Now, there are many called. Amongst them, there are few that are chosen. And amongst the few that are chosen, there are even fewer that are faithful in God's choice for them. Let me explain what I'm saying. You see, because this is very important for preachers. I'm a preacher, and I see the things that preachers do. See, many are called. Not everybody will answer the call to ministry. Now, get what I'm saying? Anytime I talk like this, I like you to know that it doesn't apply only to ministry. It applies to everything in life. All right, many are called. Not everyone will answer the call to become a lawyer or a doctor. Many are called, not many will answer the call to become building designers. Many are called, not many will become. You answer the call to become historians. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So, but I'm just using preaching as an example because that is the passion of my own heart. Are you following me? Now, amongst those he has called, some will answer the call. They will forsake all and supposedly follow him. Are you getting my point? Now, but as they are following him, pressures will come in life. The desire to achieve things will come in life. The desire to excel in their calling will come in life. For example, people may decide that, okay, this is a sign that pastors are doing well, because that happens. It can be the size of your building. It can be the size of the car you drive. Are you getting my point? It can be in the customization of your number plates. To have no customized number plate is not a bad thing. In fact, one day I'm going to, now there's nothing wrong with that. But I'm not even going to a point. So sometimes people get derailed in life. Are you getting me? They get derailed. They forget what really matters. Are you following? They forget and say, okay. So the point now is that we have to buy. And those days, there was a time that it was Lincoln Navigator. Now it is Hummer that is hammering, I watched a play, a joke on TV. It said, Jehovah Shammah, you make me hammer, and I will buy Hummer. And it was a pastor praying with people. He said, say after me. Man, I had a very good laugh. And of course, he wanted them to bring out an offering so that God will make them hammer. Yeah, you getting my point? To connect with the hammering blessing of the Lord. Now, so it could be that. So, now, the man has answered the call. But then, faithfulness, okay, is an important thing. That is the final test, actually. Because, okay, what I wanted to talk about today, which I will mention as I'm going on in this matter of faith, is that of receiving authority and exercising authority. Do you get my point? Because it's important. One of the people that demonstrated in the scriptures the greatest faith that Jesus commended was a man who understood the position of authority, the importance of authority in life. Okay, so we'll talk about it briefly. Receiving authority and exercising authority. Because sometimes we have received authority, we don't exercise it. All right? I was in Newe a few days ago. I was discussing with the students about when one man who called himself Abalaka was curing AIDS in Nigeria. Supposedly, the man was lying. We all knew he was lying. Everybody that was informed knew the guy was a charlatan. We knew he was just defrauding people with his claim to be curing HIV. He was the one that developed the treatment. He was the one that administered it. He was the one that reported the successes, and he was the one charging all the money for a trial drug. Only a crook behaves like that. I don't need any other thing to tell me the man was a crook. So then they asked the then DG of NAFDAC, the position that Dora Akunyele holds now, one prof from University of Benin. He said, if you do anything about it now, they'll say you don't want your brother to progress. I said, this man received authority but refused to exercise it. You get what I'm trying to say? He had the authority to call that man to order. He had the authority to pick that man up, have him locked up, and charge him for using an untested drug and charging money for it. But he refused to. So sometimes people receive authority, but they refuse to exercise it. So we're going to talk about exercising authority again today, because when you don't exercise authority, this is the interesting part, God will not exercise it for you. Things will go wrong under your watch. Are you getting my point? A lot of things are wrong in the nation and in many places. It is because the people that God gave authority, they are not doing anything about it, both spiritually and the secular world. And because of that, things go wrong. And a lot of those people now start commenting on the things that have gone wrong. Meanwhile, the day God is going to charge people for the wrong going of things, they are going to be charged for conspiring to make things go wrong. It's criminal negligence. So what am I saying in all these things? So when God calls, and people have answered the call, they are called the chosen ones, all right? Everybody that's called is the called. Amongst those who are called, those who answer are the chosen. But amongst those who are chosen, there are now the faithful ones. So I was talking about preachers as an example. The pressures of life tend to move them away from faithfulness. Well, Paul will tell you that everyone has departed from me, apart from maybe Timothy. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having fallen in love with this present age. Are you getting me? That is the faithfulness. The man has forsaken faithfulness. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that's just the way it is. Now, but when people have gone beyond the level of being chosen, and they have demonstrated faithfulness, and faithfulness, listen to this, is only shown in the time of trial. Is only shown in the time of adversity. Listen, you don't show faithfulness if you are not being tried. Are you hoping? Oh, I'm going to say, my wife and I were discussing some things some time ago, and I said, look, everybody can claim to love you. It's a very simple thing. Are you getting my point? Let me give you an example. You know, if you are preaching on air and your word is touching people and all of that and things like that, or you are just so fine like me, are you following what I'm saying? Are you always standing up? I mean, it's so easy. And listen to me, young men and young women, listen, this works, all right? Listen to this. These are serious tips that will help your life. Somebody asked me once. He said, I went to prison. He said, how do you know a man really loves you? I said, it's a very difficult answer, a question to answer, but I have a few tips. Are you getting me? Now, so people can claim to love you. That's what I'm going to. But amongst those who claim to love you, those who really love you are those who are ready to give up things. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying give things to you. Are you getting my point? Because if I have a billion naira, maybe you have been poor all your life, and I give you 100,000, you know you are going to go into spasm because you saw 100,000 naira. But you don't have the man giving you 100,000 naira. Listen, to him, it's nothing, all right? It's as if you gave somebody 5 naira by the wayside. A friend of mine was telling me the other day how he went to do a job for a big man, and because the man wasted their time, he had to go and solve another problem. When he came back, he said, I am so sorry for wasting your time. He gave my friend 100,000 naira for wasting his time, gave the other guy waiting with him 100,000 naira, and gave the smaller people 50,000 naira each for wasting their time. What's the time he wasted? Like 4 hours. You know, he's like, sorry, oh. These guys have wasted their time. These are the people waiting with my guy, they are civil servants, you know, at the highest ranking, probably be level 12 or level 10. And the man considered that he has wasted the civil servant's time for about 4 hours. He went in and solved the grief. you're getting my point. With something like 300,000 naira there and then. Are you following me? So if that guy is a big man who goes to a campus, chases one babe, and dashes her 200,000 naira, or say, okay, here's a ticket, go to London and come back next week, he's not a sign of love. Are you following what I'm saying? Because he has the means. Are you following me? But I said, those who can give up things. Now, that's about, take Jesus Christ as an example. For God so loved the world that he gave the only one. Are you getting my point? He didn't have a multitude, the only one that he had. All right? Then that is, you see what he's ready to give up as a sign of his love. I'm not going to say much deeper, all right, about that. Okay? So you see, it's in the time of difficulty, that's what I'm trying to say, that you prove your faithfulness. It's in the time of trial that you prove your faithfulness. Are you getting me? So when God is talking about the faithful, he's not talking about those who have gone to church very well. No, in life, your faith in God will cost you something. You are getting what I'm saying? I don't mean that you will come to church one day and give an offering. Now, that one, for some people, that's what it will cost them. Do you get my point? It's not everybody. There are some people, it will cost them a dream they've had all their lives. That is, you have dreamt about this the day it was about to start taking effect. God said, I know that one doesn't work with me. And you say, you can't be serious. He said, listen, baby, I am very, very serious. He said, we'll pray about this again. He said, fine, I'm waiting. As soon as you read the point of prayer, you're about to start. He said, don't just bring up the matter. I know what you want to say. I have made up my mind. If you're ever in that kind of position, let me tell you how to solve it. It's very simple. I withdraw that statement. It's not very simple. Is that okay? But it is actually easily workable spiritually. Don't ever try. That is, if God says, listen, maybe all your life you have planned. Oh, what can I give as an example now? I don't know what to give as an example, right? Okay. But let me take Maurice Cerullo as an example. Maurice Cerullo, he was an orphan, grew up in an orphanage, all right? And how many of you know of Maurice Cerullo? He's an international, you know of Reinhold Bonnke. I mean, that's his caliber of person, Maurice Cerullo. I don't know whether he's still living, but I think he's still living. But I've not heard much from him in a very long time. Maurice Cerullo wanted to be a doctor all his days. He was growing up. That was what he desired. Then one day he gave his life to Christ, and God decided that you are going to preach. And he said, no, not me. Now, to you, you may say, what's the big deal? Maybe to you. But if you're an orphan, are you following my point? And I mean, you have worked towards something. It can be a very serious matter. If one of the things that happened was that as he left the place of that vision, the place where his foot was, all right, as he turned to go, as he lifted up that foot, the place was transparent. And he looked down and saw people going to hell. That was what converted him. You are following what I'm saying? Some people have great visions, deep things they have proposed all their life to achieve. And then God decides to take that as his own Isaac. Now, the sacrificing of Isaac is something that everybody will do. There will be something that is precious to you. I know the interesting part, don't be fooled that God will say, okay, I wanted to show whether you will sacrifice him. Most Isaacs die. Do you get my point? Don't just be fooled. Most Isaacs die. But the spirit of the Isaac, this is the interesting part, will resurrect in another thing. The thing about Isaac, as God saw Isaac on that mountain, was that he really was slaughtered by his father. And then he raised him up again from the dead. That was what God did with Isaac. Are you getting my point? So I said, okay, if you get into such difficult situations, what do you do? It's very simple. All right? It may be tight, but the principle is very simple. Listen, you don't try and say, God, I will give all those wishes. I will just give anything up for you, God. You have not, the man has not been made of you yet. Do you understand my point? It's easy to give out, God, this is my last 500 naira. I hereby give you. There are brethren to the left and to the right. You know. Are you getting what I'm saying? They will not see you starve. So it's easy to give the Lord your last 500 naira. The truth is that if you had, you could go visit one bros just at the time you know he finishes cooking and everything will be solved. Do you understand? So those are not the issues. Those are not the issues. These are the issues. When things are told so tight, a man's heart is tied, a woman's heart is tied so much to it. When you get to that kind of situation, don't go and start bragging. My people have been saying, he said, the man who has not seen real war is the one that calls himself a man. He said, I'm a man. He said, you have obviously not jammed real battle. And that's what God wants Christians to have as an attitude. So at such times, you don't go bragging. You go doing what? Praying. Are you following my point? You will go down on your knees and say, God, if it is possible, let this cup pass away from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, we take that. I told you on Monday, those of you who are around on Monday, I said, decisions are made for you. Are you getting my point? There is a spirit that God sends into you that makes that decision for you. You tackle such things not with a strong heart. You tackle it with prayer. You get my point? I've come to understand prayer is so powerful. It's not a strong man that succeeds in life. Is a weak one who knows where to look for strength. Are you getting my point? He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That Hebrew word means that those that tie their weak strands to that of God. Are you getting my point? That is, they know that I can't do anything. That's the difference between Esau and Jacob. You are getting my point. Now, so I'm talking about what? Faithfulness. So they called, the chosen, the faithful. I said, faithful people are those who have been tried. You don't achieve that title faithful if you have not gone through problems in life. If you have not been in places where your faith is making you appear foolish, where your faith is making you lose money, where your faith is making you look like a failure while other people are looking like successes. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, there is a spirit inside you that just tells you that this is the only thing to do to please the Lord. But everybody else thinks you are very foolish. Are you getting my point? That is when you have really demonstrated your faithfulness. And this is the way God does it. Before that time, listen, before you step into Babylon, God teaches you the principles by which you will walk in Babylon. You funny what I mean? They'll tell you that, look, Daniel and his brothers, they just get and say, when we get there, we will not eat all the defiled meals that they eat in that place. Before they step into Babylon, they have made it. They made those decisions, all right? And then when they get into Babylon, they prove whether they really know what they were saying or they don't. Whether they really mean it or they don't mean it. And like I said to you before, faith is not the person who can stubbornly get anything from God. A faithful man is one who does not love his life unto death. Do you follow what I'm saying? It was said that the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they just knew that God would deliver them. Listen, that was not what delivered them. What delivered them was that they didn't care whether they died or not. Jesus said it simply in the New Testament. He said, he that we keep his life is the one that will lose it. He said, he that will lose his life for my sake is the one that will find it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew the power of their God, but they did not care. Really, let me tell you the truth. When they put them out there, they were not exactly expecting the kind of thing that happened. They just said simply, even if you decide you are going to smoke us, we still will not bow. That's just a simple thing. You are following the point I'm making here. Now, so it's as you go through such trials that God now calls you faithful. So let's get back to that Revelation chapter 17. So it said, these are the people who wage war with the Lamb. He said those who are with him. When he says those who are with him, he means the people that are fighting on his side. He said they are the people who are called, they are chosen, and then in life they have been shown to be faithful to their calling in God. You get the point? Another interesting part, if we look into the previous verses, you will see that the beasts, the kings of the beasts, they first received what? Authority as kings. All right? Infer that from this. It's the people that are called, chosen, and faithful that Jesus was described in relation to as the Lord of lords. Are you following my point? And the king of who? What? Kings. That is, the faithful people are the kings. The faithful people are the lords. That is, it is through faithfulness that God delivers authority to people. Do you understand my point? Derek Prince expounded one statement. When the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts wanted to cast out demons, they said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus Christ whom Paul preaches. And the demon said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Paul, we know. Now, he said, what they said actually is that Jesus, we are personally acquainted with. That is, we know of him very well. He said, Paul, that fellow, we have heard his reputation. There are two different Greek words. There's a play of words there. That is, Paul, we have heard his reputation. We have heard, that guy, the problems he has been causing here and there. Now, let me put my words now. The authority with which he has been destroying the kingdoms of our allies. You get what I'm going to say? He said, but as for you, hell, we have, that is, there is nothing on you, nothing. That is, you have neither been called, nor have you been chosen, nor are you faithful. That is, you are not a king, you are not a lord. So what gives you the authority to open your mouth and be running it on us? Get me a king. You are following the point I make? What am I going to say? That you see, this is how God does it. When a man, when a woman is full of faith, as a result of the personal walk with God, and in the midst of trials, they have stood up because of their faith. And don't ever forget this. I am not saying that you are strong in yourself. No, don't ever forget this. A good Christian must be one who prays continually. I don't mean having just times of prayer, they are good, but continually. You always recognize that it is God that helps you. Are you getting what I'm going to say? In the time of trial, in the time of adversity, they always run back to God for help. All right? And the Spirit of God rises in them. Ezekiel said that when he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. That is, God helps them to stand in the time of adversity because of the position that their hearts are towards him. Are you getting my point? Now, he now judges them faithful. Now, because of that, you know what he does? He now gives them authority as kings. Listen, listen. Paul made it clear to us in the book of Galatians. He said, and hell, when it's yet small, does not differ from a servant. Yes, we are all heirs of God and heirs with Jesus Christ, but we are yet small. Therefore, nobody delivers authority to servants. Even Paul said it like this. He said, you want to make rulers in the house, deacons. He said, don't give a novice authority, because with that, he will destroy himself. Are you getting what I'm going to say? He will become proud. And God, understanding that, who is teaching it to us, all right? He doesn't do it also. Now, I'm bringing on something, doesn't I'm saying? Because that's a matter of faith. Faith is the way by which you help God. You do your work for God. You do the plan of God on the earth in taking over the kingdoms of the world, in showing his superiority over the ideas of Satan, in bringing down every imagination, every thought that's exalted itself against the knowledge of God. The only way by which you can help God, all right, is by your faith. You are getting what I'm saying? You are getting what I'm saying? Now, so God will now, through your life, all right, demonstrate the kind of person that he is. And that's just what God wants to do on the earth. If you're around on Monday, I described that thing. We explained it that, listen, you see, when God told Isaac, don't go away from here, all right? He says, stay here, don't go down to Egypt, and then I will bless you. That what God was trying to show is that, see, Isaac, for him, his staying there was tied to a covenant, to a promise that God had made to Abraham. Are you getting my point? And so because of that, though there was trial, though there were adversities, there was famine, the Bible says, but he understood that if I left here, I'll be departing from the place of God's promise. Therefore, he stayed behind. And then God, having obeyed God, that is Isaac, God now began to pour forth a blessing upon him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if God wants to bless a country like Nigeria, as an example, or whichever country you are living in and you are listening to this from, your native land that you are there, and because of your faith in God, all right, you are abiding in a particular place, then you are about, let me use modern words again, you are about to download the power of God for that environment. Are you getting my point? That is when God wants to bless, first thing he looks for is the called, the chosen, and what? The faithful. He called Abraham, he said, come, and I will bless you, I will make your name great, and in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. He didn't bless him immediately. What he began to do was, after Abraham obeyed the call, all right, he was not a chosen man, then God began to train him in faith, and Abraham demonstrated his faithfulness. And then one day God called for his Isaac. And after he gave Isaac to God, that was a height in the demonstration of his faithfulness. Are you getting the point? So God now released to him authority as a king. That's what God now did. I'm explaining this, that if you are going to walk on the other side, it works. You receive authority as a king as you stand in the time of trial, as you stand in the time of tribulations. He said, in the furnace of affliction, I have chosen you. You can't be faithful until you have been tried. You get the point? You cannot be judged as faithful until you have gone through trial. That's why James said, beloved, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. He said, because the trial of your faith works patience. That is, you should count it all joy, because at that point you're about to receive authority as a king if you indeed pass that test. I hope you're following me. What I'm saying, is it making sense? Now, next point I want to make, remember what I'm talking about today, is receiving and exercising authority in life, because that's what faith is. A man came to Jesus Christ and he said, I am a man under authority. I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to that one, go, and he goes. What he was saying is that I understand that this is how faith works. Receiving authority and exercising that authority. Now, what I'm trying to bring out from there is this, that you see that the exercise of faith here was tied to his understanding of spiritual authority. Are you getting the point? All right. And what I'm trying to teach to us is how authority comes. There was something that that happened once. James and John came to Jesus Christ and said, we want to receive authority. Are you getting my point? What does that mean? To sit on your left and on your right. Now, in case you didn't know this before, anytime you hear those expressions, actually what he's saying is that we want to receive authority as your deputies. You know what it means to be a deputy, all right? And he says, if you watch many movies, talk about deputy sheriff, all right? Talk about when you say man has been deputized, you don't need to deputize somebody. As you have made him essentially a police officer having authority. That's how Americans use it. Now, so what they were saying is that we wanted to be deputies, all right? Because Jesus, it said concerning Jesus that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at where? My right hand. It's a position of authority. Okay, Jesus is seated in the heavenly places on the right hand. Okay? And so, Joseph, yeah, my best example, was on the right hand of Pharaoh. You get the point? So the right hand of Pharaoh was Joseph. Actually, you know the interesting part? In Yoruba culture, there are traditional titles like that. You've heard his name before, Otumba. Otumba. Yeah, Otumba means right hand. Otumba literally means the right of the king. And they actually, some towns will have Osi, that is the left. You see how people bear that title with pride? You understand? You hear Otumba, you know, before they were chiefs, and then everybody's a chief. So some people now say, no, we are not just chiefs, we are what? Otumbas, which means the right hand. You are following my point? I'm trying to bring out the issue that is a position of authority. You know, these things, they are very real. I'm so happy I gave that example. You saw that it's real. It's not just in the Bible. It's a principle of life. It's a spiritual order everywhere. So even before the Bible came here, there were Otumbas. So the point I'm making is that, so they wanted to receive authority beside the Lord. And he told them, this kind of authority, smarting now, no problem. But boy, now smarting like elephant too. That is, you have to eat the same food I'm going to. You have to drink the same cup, he said. That is, you will be tried, and you will stand faithful in the face of trials, and then you become a candidate as a deputy, for the position of deputy. Now, let me say this to you, and this is where I'm coming to, talking about this matter of faithfulness in life. Jesus is the king, right, of kings? He's the head of the church. Is that okay? There is the body of Christ. The Bible says that the kingdom of the world, or King James said the kingdoms, they have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Now, this is what I want you to understand. When Jesus would tell many parables, he'll tell you that there was a king who went out, and he went and received kingdoms. He received what? Kingdoms. And then he came back. Before he left, you know what he did? He gave what to his servants? Talents. All right? And then, as a result of the talents he gave to the servants, he gave one. That is, there are different parables. There's a parable in which he gave 10, 5, 2, and 1. There was a parable in which he gave 10 to 10, 1, 1, 1. And then the first one took one and came back to the Lord and said, see, the one that you gave me, that's Luke chapter 19, please. My Bible used the word a mina, all right? It said, your mina, that is singular, verse 16, has made 10 more. Then he said in verse 17, well done, good slave, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, you are to be in authority over 10 cities. The second came and said, I have made 5 more. Then he said, for that reason, I place you in authority over 5 cities. And then down the line, let's not bother with the man who buried his own. Maybe until later. The Spirit moves us, we'll get back to it. But this is what I want you to understand. This man went out in Luke 19 to go and receive a kingdom for himself. And inside this kingdom, there are cities. Now, but being one person, now in my own teaching today, that is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that okay? Now, if indeed he's going to have the kingdoms of the world, all right, as his own kingdom, inside that kingdom, there will be many cities. Do you get my point? Now, I'll tell you what cities are. Now, because there are many cities, he alone cannot rule over all of them. Therefore, he must have deputies. As I'm talking about deputies, are you getting my point? He will have deputies who will sit on his left and on his right. Now, over each city, a deputy who sits on the right, peradventure, all right, maybe left or right, will be over that city. Now, before he appoints them as deputies, he allows them to be tested. He gives them a little bit and says, go and try and use this. And those who, now, you receive authority over as many cities as you have demonstrated that you can handle by the little thing that has been given to you. Now, let me tell you something. When these guys were trading with one mina each, they didn't understand they were going to receive cities. But their master, having all understanding, said, what you can do with money shows what you can do, all right, with cities. Are you getting my point? You know, on Monday, we shared something here. Because if you read in, Genesis 26, we're studying on Monday, you see that after God blessed Isaac, he blessed Isaac so much that Abimelech and his commander-in-chief came and made a covenant with Isaac. That Isaac promised he would never fight us, because despite the fact that there was so much enmity against you in our land, yet you prosper so much that we recognize that right now you command so much resources, if you decide to fight us, we're in trouble. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, Isaac in effect had received authority. That's what we are saying. And I established then that, you see, now don't forget this, bear this in mind. PDP does not control Nigeria. Listen, Ndidi, Okereke, UK, all right, does not control the capital market. Listen, Dangote does not control the business sector in Nigeria. Let me say this to you. Pascal Dozier does not control Diamond Bank. Look, what's the name of the man of Zenith? Jimovia does not control Zenith. Say, Pastor Bank, what are you talking about? The Bible says the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdoms thereof to whosoever he wishes. Are you getting my point? What am I saying? Olusegun Obasanjo does not rule in Nigeria. The Bible says the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom over to whosoever he wishes. Listen, the day Jesus died on the cross, listen, and he rose again from the dead. Go and get that tape, that CD that I preached on Easter Monday, the resurrection power, something like that. I explained that some of those things. When Jesus rose up again from the dead, what he was saying in effect is that all kingdoms have been given unto me. That's why I came to disciples and said all power, or literally all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now you say, how come he's not controlling each one yet? Let me say it to you. Because before he takes a kingdom in reality, that is in physical reality, he must first appoint a deputy for that kingdom. Do you get my point? Listen, I'm absolutely certain about what I am saying. This nation, because God has been preaching his gospel for years, over the years, what he has been doing is calling. What he has been doing is choosing. And what he has been doing is proving them faithful. Are you getting my point? And everyone who has proved, who has shown himself to be faithful, God said, I will set him in authority over cities. I saw things I said to let you know that if God decides tomorrow that I'm tired of the chairman MD of one particular bank, that I want to remove 60% of the shares and give to one boy who's currently 26 years old, in the next 2 years, he will do it, and there's nothing anybody can do to stop it. He said, when I act, who can hinder it? And as for my outstretched hand, who can turn it back? You know what it means? If I focus my power somewhere, who will be tired if you stand in my way? You get what I'm going to say? If I determine to do something, you can't stop me. See, listen. All that we have been made to do, listen, there's the reason why I started all of this. Because I said Jesus must have deputies. He must have deputies. Faith is not just about sitting at home and praying for food. That is the kindergarten level of faith. You quickly outgrow it when you realize that it is life is not about food and the body is more than raiment. You get my point? You start using your faith, that's what I'm talking about, to deputize for Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point? To rule for him. That is what you use faith to do, not to get something for yourself. Everything that people pray for, they are fringe benefits for effective leadership. Do you get what I'm saying? Every ambassador is all a student on scholarship. You carry a whole family to another country. You think, look, you furnish his house, that is, you give him a house, you give him a car, you give him everything that he needs. And the Bible says we are ambassadors for Christ. So all those basic things of life, they are fringe benefits. What do you do with faith? You take your position as a deputy for Christ Jesus. That's what you do with faith. So I'm explaining that. So what the Lord is doing actually is proving people faithful. And when they have been proved faithful, then he gives them authority as what? As kings. And he says, you rule over 10 multinationals. That's the way it works. Listen, those days they had cities, all right? What we have now that God is showing his power and authority through, you see, in the matter of economics, you see great companies. That's why I mentioned names like all the people you think that are ruling. Each one of them is ruling because God gave them power to rule for now. You get what I'm trying to say? And you see, Nebuchadnezzar made that mistake once. Having built up a big company, listen, he saw a small nation, he became king, he armed the military, his soldiers, he trained them very well, taught them discipline, he had the best economists, the economy of Babylon was booming. He looked over everything he had done, he said, is this not Babylon the Great, which I have built by the strength of my arms for the glory of my majesty? God said, mistake. That's what I told you earlier. I read the story of that great industrialist in the world today. After having read the story, I said, this man will die bankrupt, except he repents. I have nothing against him personally. He has beautiful business skills. I have used him to preach. But I have also realized that Nebuchadnezzar, no. Once you open your mouth and say, God does not rule in the affairs of men. God, I say, and God, no. That one I can't take. I can't take that one. If you kill a man, your neighbor, maybe I can stomach it for a while. But if you open your mouth and say that I am not the one ruling in the affairs of men, that I don't appoint kings on this earth, then I will dethrone you as an example. Do you get my point? So, look, be careful. If you want to say something bad, say it in secret. Do you understand? God will hear and punish you small. When you open your mouth publicly and say, forget, God can't do nothing. Because they look at open challenge. So we shall destroy him publicly. God knew that it would take him 7 seasons to teach Nebuchadnezzar a lesson. So he sent him into madness for 7 seasons. Because he knew that the man, maybe he forgot. After being in maximum security psychiatric hospital for a period, we believe, of 7 years, they gave him food, he refused. Are you getting me? When he's hungry, he will be chewing grass. Listen to this. As he was chewing the grass, he knew this was madness. I don't know whether you're getting my point. That is, he couldn't control it because God was showing him something. So he was experiencing punishment. That he will see his hands leave his body, go to the ground, and pick grass. He said, no, I want fried rice with chicken. He's saying that in his heart. But in his mouth, from his mouth, what is coming out is, that's what is coming out. In his heart, he's saying, no, give me potato, petesse, pelete, poluta, the one that came from France. His mouth, what? I don't know what that means, all right? From his mouth, you are hearing, and his hand goes and sticks grass. And without being able to control it, he chews the grass and swallows it. At the end of 7 years, he said, I'm very sorry. God said, oh, you are sorry. He said, yeah, all right, come out. Then suddenly sanity returned to him. And he went back and wrote a decree. And said, indeed, the heavens doth rule in the affairs of men. He said, the Almighty gives a kingdom to whosoever he wishes. Listen, you know, Olusegun Obasanjo does not give the kingdom to whosoever he wishes. He only thinks so. Pilate walked up to Jesus Christ. He said, do you not have the power to release you? Now Jesus said, you think you do. You don't. You are just here because right now, this is the perfect plan. Even if he wanted to release me, you can't. Watch it. You know, Pilate wanted to release Jesus Christ. He could not. You are following the point I'm trying to make? You see, I'm just now going to let you know that if God has decided to set you up, there is nothing anybody can do to stop it. But God said, what am I doing first of all? I'm proving everyone faithful. You are getting my point. I prove them faithful, then I appoint them as my deputies over cities. You get the point? I hope you understand. So what am I going to explain? That so God, if God wants to change something in life, let us assume, for example, you sit down at home and decide that you know, the other day I was saying that I don't like Cartoon Network. Are you getting my point? I just said that, look, I don't like Cartoon Network. I don't believe that. I mean, if you know you have so much power over children, all right? You know the way children watch. I mean, till now I don't understand what attracts them to those cartoons. It's not just the movement of colors. Because proper movies, they get bored. All right? So maybe you decide that, look, this can be used, and that's how life is. Everything that God allows people to invent, be it telephone, computers, televisions, satellite TVs, all right, cartoons, whatever it is, the purpose of God is that it must be used to bless mankind and demonstrate the superiority of the love of God for human beings over all the principles of Satan. Do you understand? But this interesting thing about God, once he has given it to you, he lets you do what you like with it. The righteous one, a holy one, is the one that takes it and consciously seeks out the purpose of God and decides to use that thing for the purpose of God. You're getting the point? So maybe you decide that, okay, I don't like this Cartoon Network the way it is right now. And in your heart, you are an educator of children. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you desire in your heart to use such a great medium to teach children good things in life, to teach them righteousness, to teach them intelligence, to teach them how to honor parents, how to love their neighbor. Are you getting what I'm saying? What God now does is he now gives you little opportunities. I'm not going to go over that one again. Now, we've said it many times. For example, he offers you a job in the nursery school. Are you seeing what I'm saying? He doesn't start, he offers you a job. Show me really you love these children. Start from here. You're following the point. That's how it starts. Now, what I'm trying to bring out is that for God to use that medium, he won't come himself to take it over. No. What he does is to lift up a deputy and then hands the kingdom of men, all right, over to him, just like the Nebuchadnezzar found out. And the way by which he does it, I found out in recent times, the best way to explain it is time and chance begins to happen. You see, you know why God gives you the opportunity? He said something like this. He said that no one lights a candle and hides it under a bushel. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come. Okay? Now, what he's saying is that if light comes to you from the Lord, therefore, God having lighted you will not put you under a bushel. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Therefore, when God has proved you faithful and he has poured his glory upon you, the next thing he does is to take you and literally put you in charge of one city. So this city can be what? Cartoon Network. Why? So that you might, through that international avenue, teach righteousness and love for the neighbor to children. Teach them intelligence. Are you getting my point? So that parents won't mind their children sitting down and being glued to your programs. Knowing that any child that watches that thing for an hour a day comes out more intelligent than those who don't watch it. You are getting what I'm saying? That's how it works. So God gives authority to people on earth so as to do his purpose through them. That's why we read from that Revelation chapter 17. He said, there are 10 kings. They gave their power and their authority to the beast. That is, using their power and authority that they have acquired, they did the purpose of the beast. In the same manner, he said, the ones who are with the Lord, they call the chosen, the faithful, who he called the kings and the lords, what they also do is use the authority that they have acquired by faithfulness to fight the beast. Because he said, the Lamb will overcome them because he's King of kings and Lord of lords. Listen, you know, this is the beauty, as far as I understand it, of Christianity. Satan is not this, you know, this one is all night prayer. We are going to defeat Satan tonight. The Satan you defeat only in a prayer hall, it will cleanse the prayer hall very well. Then you go back to work tomorrow and meet the one you have not yet fought. Do you get what I'm saying? No, are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, God, Jesus has defeated Satan. If you believe that, say amen. If he didn't do it, he would not have been raised up from the dead. Like Derek Prince said in his tape, Aggressive Prayer, that what we are doing is administering the defeat that Jesus has already accomplished. Are you getting what I'm saying? Therefore, now, these Satans, they are ruling kingdoms. What we are doing is kicking them out of kingdoms. Listen, corruption, listen to this. This is prophetic and accurate doctrine. Corruption cannot be ruled out of Nigeria by prayer alone. It's not possible. Righteous kings must reign for corruption to go. Do you understand my point? You can pray from now till tomorrow. The Nigeria police, this and this, they are not well equipped. There's too much bribery and corruption. That one is talk. The day you will know that God has set to do something, watch when he appoints a new IG. Are you getting my point? Who has righteousness in his heart? Listen, it is when, look, it's being a deputy for Jesus Christ we are talking about. That's how corruption gets out of a nation. I've explained this to us before that what rules a nation, what rules people, what makes things move forward, all right? They are the powers of the spirits of people. That is, if God wants something to prosper in the nation, he puts one person, not two, not three, one person that has the strength of spirit to move that thing on and puts the person in charge. You are getting what I'm saying? Now, when that person has received authority, then he begins to use authority. A lot of people are trying to use authority where they don't have it. Ultra virus, right? You are acting beyond your powers. What am I going to say? Just from all things I've said, there is a place in life. Now, notice this carefully. Where God has appointed you as a deputy. That is, whether you walk up to it or not is your personal problem. But the day you were born, God said, this angel said, what do we do with this one? Now, before, when you were hanging, ready to be born. So what do we do with this one? God said, this is what I want him to do. Therefore, send him to the house of so and so person. Say, but that man doesn't have money. Say, it is good. Jesus has to be born in a manger. That is, I'm orchestrating his training. He said, don't worry. I know the kind of problems you have in childhood. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. He said, we are going to use that. He said, we are going to use that to bring out the treasure inside him. You are following my point? Uh-huh. He said, when that one, the one day we are going to preach to him, that's how it is. We'll send one pastor bank from somewhere to go and teach him the gospel. Who was also born with that kind of discussion. Are you getting my point? That I need this guy to go and teach people how to bring out some things. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the words from his mouth jams this guy, and then that fellow answers the call. I said, there are different areas in life where you are a deputy for Christ. Paul said, I'm feeling in my body that which is lacking in the sacrifice of Jesus. The first time I heard it, I thought the man was joking, because I heard that Jesus had done everything. Yes, it's true, spiritually speaking. But to bring that thing he did in the heavens down to the earth, then people begin to walk the same steps and paths that he walked. Take the same steps. And then in different areas, that's what I'm trying to say. That is, like we talked about Cartoon Network as an example earlier. I said, okay, this one I have appointed as my deputy in that field. But you see, I rule in the affairs of men. I don't hand over kingdoms until they have shown what? Their faithfulness. You are following what I'm saying? Now listen, this is where I'm going to in all of these things. As far as God is concerned, you are a king in a particular place. And that is the primary area he has given you authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me explain. The Bible talks about prayer. It said, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. I want to give an example. Because there are different ways this thing works, all right? There are different scopes, there are different places where we can administer this thing. For example, now, I have a wife, I have children, that is, I have a home. No matter how much you pray, your 10-hour prayer does not have the effect of my 5-second statement in that house. I don't know whether you get my point. That is, if I just utter simple words to my wife, to my kids, or about them, about my home, and you are there praying for 10 hours, and maybe, let's assume you are even a cousin, and you love the house, it doesn't have a fraction of the effect, 10-hour prayer, that a 5-second statement would have. It doesn't have it. Why? Because I have been given authority in that home. Now, please, I'm just now to explain something. Sometimes other people exercise authority for people when they don't use it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Then other things begin to come into play. People start praying for you, and because of their love and compassion, you start feeling small effect. You follow what I'm saying? And just by the way, those who don't have love and compassion for you can't really pray for you. The prayer is very, very impotent. Yeah. Yeah. You know, say, let us pray for the... Like Derek was saying in that, it's not interesting thing. There are things that you fear, your spirit doesn't gel with it. You don't even know why, but just know it doesn't gel. Once in the church I attended many years ago, it's like almost 15 years ago, we're having a prayer meeting. So we are going to pray. So a group of people will pray for the work of God in Libya. Libya. Did you hear what I said? Libya. No, I mean that too. I don't mean that as a joke. It was actually Libya that was the prayer point for the day. And I looked to my left and my right. Libya. And of course, no Christians now. Look. Libya. All right. What's my problem with Gaddafi? No, honestly, I really couldn't understand how I could relate, how we're supposed to relate with the Libyan thing. We'll try to pray, sir. But I found it very funny. I don't know anybody in Libya. Now, let me just say this. He said, such things don't they ever happen? Occasionally. But for it to happen, those are the times that God puts supernatural burdens upon people. And you see, the person actually has a serious and intense feeling for the thing, even though he really can't, he doesn't even know what it's about much. Are you getting my point? Now, so usually when people are not connected to something, their prayers are not potent in that area because they don't have authority there. Let me tell you an example. Just to use this one to explain this point further. Once, a lady, a friend of mine, when we were in Luth, when I was doing my posting in one department, when the office one day we were gisting, and she began to describe something that happened to one of her relations. The man is a police officer in the CID, all right? Criminal Investigation Department.
Okay.
And there was a crime committed in a white garment church. Now listen to this, a white garment church. This man is a good man. He went to go and do his duty in this church. While doing his duty, are you getting what I'm saying? He got converted to become a member of the church. While doing his duty, oh, of course, the duty don't end by this time when he don't become a member. Next thing is that all his salary, he will carry it. Offering time, blessing time. Boah. Offering basket. Ah. Wife began to lack. Children began to lack. True gisto. She said that the thing became so serious that the house began to scatter. Yet this man is just following this church, you know. Like that. It's all his heart. Now, by the way, This is a fact. Most of those churches, they bewitch people. Paul said, who has bewitched you so that you have departed from the truth? It was not just a statement in anger. It was a statement founded on truth, doctrine. You can bewitch people, they start behaving like mugu. Are you getting my point? Now, why did I tell that story? When she finished telling me the story, I said, I said, tell his wife to see me or one of her children, and I promise you under God, the problem is gone in 24 hours. I guess the lady didn't believe me because is it not banky? You understand my point? We are here together. But God, who I serve, knew I meant what I was saying. The moment she described the scenario, I understood those powers. It was not something that was difficult to handle. I said the thing was pinching me. But you know, you now why did I tell the story? You probably said, why don't you pray there and then? No. She had no authority. I had no authority in the home. But I knew, I had the knowledge of wisdom concerning what to do to solve that problem. And I told her, look, David said, I've killed a bear. I have killed a lion. Listen, if I have time, I'll give you the stories. With such things, we have killed bears before. We had killed lions before. And the man, she told me the story. I said, Jesus, this one too will die. But there's a problem. I need either the man's wife or one of the grown-up children. I don't want a 12-year-old. I don't want a 15-year-old. Give me an adult. I said, 24 hours, that man will wake up. Actually, he'll wake up instantly. You will hear the news in 24 hours. She just smiled. I knew she didn't believe me. It pained me. Do you know why? Before, a friend had come to me, and three of us, all right? The friend and two other people, me and another guy. He had come and told us a story very similar to this, again involving a white garment church. And we had broken that power in one simple statement. And had given thanks for 15 minutes. And that guy had gone home and returned in a week, buying us food and drink to celebrate the deliverance that had taken place at home. A friend of mine told me about how the only brother she had, the only son that her father has, who he loved so much, had begun to misbehave. All the sisters were Christians. They had prayed and prayed and prayed. They didn't know what to do. The moment she told me, I said, small thing. We handle this one easily. Let me have your hands. We gave God thanks. I broke the power, the bewitching power over that boy's life. Next time I saw him, he was on his way to a camp meeting. He said he woke up one day and said, what is happening to me? I don't believe this. He went up to church. They said, who wants to give his life to Christ? He was the first to jump forward.
Do you get what I'm going to say? Because then I had understood what he called the authority of the believer. What am I trying to say? I couldn't pray for this other person simply because there was nobody with me who had authority in the home. The first scenario, a son of the house brought up the issue. The second one, a daughter in the home, a grown-up child of the house, brought up the matter. Are you getting my point? In this one, you see solution to a man's problem. And the person is walking away from it. You know how it will be paining you. You have it in your hands. Oh God. I've never forgotten that story. Because it pained me that this is deliverance. A lot of people you see running up and down, they don't know what's wrong with them. The problem is that nobody with power that has power with God is praying for them. The people that have power with God don't have any tie to them. Even though they prayed hard. And you get what I'm saying? It's so hard for effects to be felt because, you know, you can't conjure up, it's not an emotional thing. It's either you have the tie or you don't have it. But that's not my message. Abel, let me get back to what I'm saying. If you don't love education, for example, it will be hard. If you don't have the reason, okay, to have, for the educational sector of a nation or a city to concern you, all this all-night prayer about it, don't just worry yourself. You have a city that God has appointed you deputy over. Spend your energy there. And pray. That's what Jesus said. Pray the Lord of harvest to send laborers into the other cities. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because, you see, you can't... Direct Prince, I told you to get that city. I hope people did. He's talking about the aggressive prayer. He said, you can't just be waving that power around like this. He said, it don't have any effect. He talked about persistent, directed, Holy Ghost-inspired prayers, which you put in places where your heart can feel. You know this kind of on the road, pray for me, all right, pray for you. You know, it's, you know, some people come and say, they come from different places, and say, pray for us. I don't know how I'm supposed to pray for you. I will probably just lay a hand on you and pray that the good Lord will send an anointing that your faith can connect with by yourself. Do you get what I'm saying? It's different from when I know you personally. We have related. Maybe we have gisted a number of times. I have spoken. My words have blessed you. If you do well in life, it will concern me personally. Are you getting my point? If you now come and say, sir, there is this issue. Please pray with me. When I pray, I am praying like I'm praying for myself. The effectual, fervent, amplifies that heartfelt prayer of a righteous man avails much. What I'm saying is that God, there's a place in your heart, in life, that God has placed a passion in your heart. You know what he wants to do? He wants to make you his deputy in those places. Listen, when you have been called, chosen, and have proved faithful, listen, you will utter simple words. You know, churches will come for weekends praying about a matter. But God's man, God's woman that's in the center of affairs, who is reigning as a king there, when in passing, whether in the quietness of her bedroom, or it's just his office, or just a statement to his secretary, he will just utter that, no, the interest rates are too high. They are going to come down. And you see, he will pass. And they will say next day, the fig tree that you cursed have died. There are people praying all night. But they don't have power there. They have not suffered there. They don't have authority there. Nobody has made them kings or rulers in those places. That's why, listen, you just have to know where you are a king. If you don't know it, God will lead you there as you follow him every day. Do you get my point? Faith is easier for such people because apart from having understanding of spiritual things, you have understanding of physical things and you have experience with you. Do you get what I'm saying? You put those three things together. That is faith unbeatable. You are getting what I'm saying? Once he described George Soros. How many of you have heard of George Soros? He said, the man who fought the Bank of England and won. The man looked at the price of the pound. He said, I can bring it down. So you know what he did? I think he borrowed money in pounds. Okay? Moved it out to Dutch marks or US dollars and then fought the Bank of England. That's the way he did it. Brought down the price of the pound, returned the money. That is, by the time he was repaying, the pound was cheaper than when he borrowed.
Are you getting my point? In the process, he pocketed $2 billion.
You can see that woman. Say, ah! I said, look, listen. I don't know how much faith he has. One thing he had was authority. That is, at his word, the servants were healed. The pound became sick. You understand my point? By then, they found out what had happened. The man had pocketed $2 billion and went out to another case. Listen, I've said before several times, Jesus is not coming tomorrow because all this is church people. They are still weaklings. They are not taking over anything. Servants are ruling. He said, there is an evil I have seen under the sun. Princes, the servants are going, check it. Riding on horses. You know what I mean to ride on horses? Dangote will build a company with 300 million naira and sell it for 10 billion maybe 2 years after. And all of us will be rushing. Dangote sugar. Dangote sugar. Dangote sugar. Somebody was analyzing for me the other day that Dangote can pay all the debt he is owing the bank from Dangote sugar alone. You know what that means? All the money of the masses. You know what they call masses? Masses. Contributing 10,000. 20,000. We tell princes to pray. Today, Jesus will answer me today, Lord. I have suffered. You know, I've been living in one bedroom apartment for years. Dear Lord, today, this year is my year of flat. Are you getting my point? You want to have great faith? Listen, I've first established faith is not for eating. That's elementary, kindergarten level. We are talking about faith to affect kingdoms. Jesus never said, if you have faith, you can eat food from the hand of the Lord. He said, if you have faith, you will command this tree to shift and go there. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, that's how faith works. You will command this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea. It's mountain. Do you get my point? That is, yes, listen. I can pray and pray for the nation. It's good. But if God has not given me personally the authority to tell PDP, scatter. You know, I can pray, scatter, Holy Ghost fire. The thing will hit them like this. They will say, it will be like an annoying mosquito bite. But there is somebody that God will pass through governance. There's somebody that God will pass through the political system who will refuse to soil his hands everywhere. Sometimes at the risk to his life. Are you getting my point? Then one day he will look and say, God, enough is enough. Scatter these people. He may not even say it to God. He'll just say it to one of his friends. This thing must come to an end. And the birds of the air, they pick the words. Are you getting my point? He said, how does it go again in Psalm 103? He's talking about you, his angels, who hearken, is a mighty in strength, who hearken to the voice of his word. It doesn't mean God is speaking. If a man utters the plan of God, that is the voice of God's word. And then the angels draw their sword. Let the next PDP convention hold. May them see now. Who will betide the man who comes early? You see, my time has gone. Maybe I'll finish this thing next week.